Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is the 20th of April and we have a parenting article for you today, How to Raise an Adult. This is kind of an interesting title because usually we say how to raise a kid or how to raise a child. And I have two parents in the studio with me today. Want to introduce yourselves?
Hi everyone, I'm Campbell and it's great to be here. I think I'm going to be learning a lot from this article.
Hi, and I'm Lois, and I'm glad to be here, and I like the topic we have today, and of course it's under parenting.
And I'm Linda, and I'm very happy to be here today. I think each of us has two children of various ages. Mine are the oldest, and they're in their early 30s, and Lois's are in her 20s.
Yep, 26 and almost 29.
And mine are in their ones, in the fours.
Yes. So we have a wide range of parenting, patterns to draw from here.
Yes, I think I have a lot to learn from you two.
Of what not to do, maybe. But this is our article today is How to Raise an Adult, and it's really talking about maybe what to do for your children to enable them to become a self-sustaining adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a very interesting article. Of course, we've read it and prepared it, and there are a couple things I was like, oh, I should have done that.
Yeah, there was some ringing bells for me as well.
But they grew up to be good kids. There are some things I would like them to do a little differently, but you know, it's their lives.
That's true.
And these are, we're going to be talking about tips to avoid so that your children are not so dependent on you when they do become adults. It's pretty interesting. So why don't we just do our reading? First of all, we are on page 34 in your Advanced magazine. If you have it with you, you might want to open to that page and read along with us. Or if you have your mobile device, you could find it and read along with us. We're going to read again on page 34. We're going to read the left-hand column.
How to Raise an Adult. Tips to Avoid the Parent Traps. Julie Lithcott-Hames spent 10 years as the first dean of freshmen at Stanford University, and she has mined those years for her book, How to Raise an Adult. The problem. Mom and dad are hovering via smartphone. Worse, the kids are happy to go along with it. Maybe they can't do without it. Following is an edited, condensed interview with the author. The interview.
You saw this problem not only at Stanford, but in your own home?
I was seeing more and more students who seemed less and less capable of doing the stuff of life. They were incredibly accomplished in the transcript and GPA sense, but less with their own selves. Evidenced by how frequently they communicated with a parent, texting multiple times a day, needing a parent to tell them what to do. I'd been scolding other people for 5 or 6 years. One night, I started cutting my 10-year-old son's meat and realized I was enabling dependence on me. I could see the link between parenting and why my college students, though very accomplished academically, were rather existentially impotent.
So we see that the title of our article again is How to Raise an Adult, and then we have the subheading here, Tips to Avoid the Parent Traps.
Mm.
Actually, that's the name of a movie, but it's quite different than what they're talking about here. What is a parent trap?
These are things that, you know, might trip you up as a parent, right? Things that might get you in trouble or things that, you know, might not be so good for you as a parent.
Right. Trap's been set. Other parents have got their leg caught in that trap, and you're probably going to do the same thing.
Well, we're here to help people not get there.
Exactly.
So we're taking a look at, actually this is an interview, and it is an interview with the author of this book, How to Raise an Adult, and she was the first dean of freshman students at Stanford University. So I know that a lot of our listening audience knows about Stanford. It's a very influential a high-end school in the United States in California. And so she worked there for 10 years. Her name is Julie Lithcutt-Hames. And it's I like the use of the language in this article also. It says she mined those years for her book, How to Raise an Adult. So if you mine something, you know, we usually think we're digging for gold in the ground or for
diamonds.
I could use a few of those, but something, you know. Here, when we're when you're mining your years for something, what are you doing?
It means that you're going through your experiences and picking out the jewels and the lessons that you've learned.
Okay.
Right.
And the gems of life.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, spent 10 years as the first dean of freshmen. I think, you know, I've been a parent since I was 25. I have a lot to mine, I think.
Yeah, I think this paragraph goes to answer, well, why did she write this book? You know, I think she probably noticed some things in these students, and she was like, I need to write something about this.
Right, and she even says that's the problem. Right beneath this introductory paragraph, she says that mom and dad are hovering via smartphone. So we're thinking of helicopter parents here, I think, aren't
Yes, we sure are.
Yeah, when I think of hovering, I think of like a mother hen or a mother eagle kind of covering the children and protecting them. And sometimes that's good and necessary, but sometimes people, parents can do it too much.
Right. Constant reminders from mom and dad. I think that's happening a lot now.
Well, it says, I thought this part was interesting. Worse than them doing that, according to Lithcutt-Hames, is that the kids are happy to go along with it, and maybe they can't even do without it or exist without it. That's kind of a scary thought.
Right.
Yeah, I think the kids get so used to mom and dad doing everything for them and protecting them, and I think as parents, that's the natural instinct. We don't want our children to get hurt, but I think sometimes we can do that too much.
And so we have an edited, condensed interview with the author. The condensed just means that it's reduced somewhat because it's actually way too long to be in our article here. So we've edited some of it, and we've shortened. It's been shortened, okay? And there are some pretty interesting questions. So first of all, the very first question that the interviewer asks is that, you saw this problem not only at Stanford, but in your own home. So she was, and her husband, or one of them anyway, was also behaving in this manner.
Exactly. They're also guilty.
Well put. So they were also hovering via smartphone and really keeping close tabs on their kids and what they're doing.
Right.
So, and the question actually is, you saw this problem not only at Stanford, but in your own home, and then what did she say? What was her response, Lois?
She was saying, I was seeing more and more students, so the students she's teaching, who seem less and less capable of doing the stuff of life. So just everyday life skills. It's a thing I actually complain about in my 50s watching 20 and 30-year-olds now because I actually want to give them a good kick because I cannot believe what they're not capable of doing for being in those decades of their life. It's shocking to me.
Right. Not knowing how to wash their own clothes, not knowing how to cook anything.
Yeah. And they actually are proud that they don't know how to cook anything. Or I never use an iron. And I'm thinking, yeah, you never use an iron. And we all know you never use an iron.
We can see it clearly. Okay. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here when it says that they seem less and less capable of doing the stuff of life. Mm-hmm. They don't really know how to take care of, you know, what we would think would be everyday tasks.
Right.
Okay. A life skill, right? We have to do them.
Right.
Budgeting, paying your bills, things like that, getting gas.
Well, I think they probably know how to do that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
How to survive, basically.
Right. And the thing about it is these kids that she's talking about here, they're at Stanford, so they are not...
They're not dumb.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but in another way. They were incredibly accomplished in the transcript and GPA sense. So this is kind of an interesting sentence. You know, when you go to a school like this, I always remember when we went to, because my son went to Northwestern, when we went to, like, tour the school, the guy at the front, you know, there was like 100 kids there for this tour, and he's like, yeah, you all are the same. You know, you're at the top of your class. You've all done this and this and this and this and this. So what's going to distinguish you?
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting.
Right.
And that's basically what they're saying. All of these kids at Stanford are accomplished in their transcript. They have very good grades. Okay. They've taken the top classes and the GPA, you know, that shows that their grades are high.
Uh-huh.
But not with themselves.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And she sees this how?
Well, it's evidenced by how frequently they communicated with a parent, texting multiple times a day, needing a parent to tell them what to do.
I just find that mind-boggling.
Right.
I mean, really mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. I can remember the last year my kids had under my roof, I remember thinking, you are going to know how to do laundry, and you're going to know how to do laundry great. And the whole last year of school, so basically 10 months, they did all their own laundry because I didn't want those phone calls or their text messages saying, Mom, how do I do this? Or Mom, all my clothes that were white are now pink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my kids went to boarding school at the age of 15, and so they were like 2 hours away from our home. So I taught them how to do their laundry the summer before they went. And this is the difference between them. My son was very guai about doing it. He would do his, at the same beginning of the summer before my daughter went to boarding school, I was going to show her, and she's like, yeah, I don't want to really learn yet. Let's wait till right before I go.
She's a smart one. She knows you're going to give it to her for all of June and all of July.
I was trying. And then it was kind of interesting because at their boarding school, they also had to clean. You know, they had every week they had inspection. They had to keep their rooms clean. They had to clean the bathrooms.
Yeah.
It was good for them.
Yeah.
And they had to do it at home, not as much.
Yeah, and I think what she's noticing is that a lot of these kids aren't able to do these simple tasks of life. It kind of reminds me of this cartoon I saw on Facebook recently where it's these two pictures, and it was like 40 years ago, you know, and it was a classroom, and the child had bad grades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the parents would be talking to the child, why do you have bad grades? But then it, on the other side, it showed today, and then the parents are talking to the teacher, why does my son have bad grades? You know, I think that's a little, a very good illustration of what's happening.
Yes.
I agree. And the thing that really struck me about this paragraph was the texting multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe once or twice, but okay, maybe once, but multiple times a day. I mean, does that mean that you don't know how to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or you don't know how to make any decisions?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't get it.
Right.
But I think, you know, the other thing is when you send your kids across the world to go to school,
mm-hmm.
or they leave home at 18 and they're moving from Asia to North America to go to school, you know, they're not going to be texting you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
and
you
I think,
really need to prepare them.
Right. I think that's part of it, too, is that now communication is so easy. Right.
Right.
I mean, I didn't go to college that much longer ago, but when I went, we had to call, and that cost money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And when my kids went to school, too, I mean, you know, they're in their early 30s now. Also, it wasn't that as common as it has been in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, and then she goes on to say what? That she'd been scolding other people for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did she,
I think
this is so interesting. What did she do, Lois?
One night, I started cutting my 10-year-old son's meat.
Who does that?
You know what? It's shocking how many restaurants I see that in. I am shocked.
I can understand this because, you know, sometimes I know I should let my kids eat, but you just don't want to deal with the mess. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't want to deal with the mess.
Okay, but a mom like me is going to say, you're teaching your girls fine motor skills, and they're going to thank you down the road if they have fine motor skills.
I know, and that's why I let them. But sometimes it's just like, okay, I just cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And don't want you to be throwing spaghetti all over the floor.
Well, part of your job is to teach them not to do that.
I do, but they still, you know, and when you stepped on rice for the 50th time evening, it's just very frustrating.
Time to move to baked potatoes.
But that, I mean, the child here is 10 years old.
Right.
Yes.
You know, even the other day, this is just like I think yesterday, I saw a parent feeding a perfectly healthy child, 4 or 5 years old, completely feeding the child. And actually, I thought I was going to lose it because I was like, your child is this age. Your child should be completely feeding themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we need to, for ourselves also, we need to take a step back and also teach. And that's, to me, this is what this article is about, teaching independence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teaching our children how to handle life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she said she realized that she was enabling dependence on her.
Mm-hmm.
And that she could see the link between her parenting, I love this, and why her college students were rather existentially impotent. This is a great kind of phrase.
That's right.
They were very accomplished academically, and we know a lot of academically accomplished children. But existentially means what?
It means in a manner that relates to human experience and existence.
So that means that there is more than what's in your textbook.
Exactly.
Okay. And impotent. Okay. That means that you don't have the power or ability to change or improve a situation,
right,
which means you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have the power. You do not have the power
right
to do it.
Yeah.
That's why you're
yeah
calling, texting your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in another way to put this is they were book smart, but they were not street smart.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And you know, when you have a child, like my daughter was completely, her raising years were over here in Northeast Asia, and you know, we really went through some scary moments of her not being street smart over in North America, over in Canada. Just some things that we thought she had picked up along the way, and she hadn't. And you have to think about that as a parent no matter where you live.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's so safe here.
Yeah.
And it's not safe there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big things. Well, let's go to our second column, and we have another question and an answer that we're going to listen to now.
Is that true for most 18 to 20-year-olds?
If a high school graduate chooses the military, we are fine with sending that 18-year-old off to do important and dangerous work. Yet with kids who choose a 4-year college, we think that's so challenging. They need a parent to manage their every moment. I was seeing this in usually middle to upper middle class families and beyond, with disposable time and money. My colleagues who were not seeing this were at community colleges. Those students have a lot of self-reliance. Another influence is the self-esteem movement. A kid draws on a piece of paper and we say, perfect! Kids come away with this overblown sense of their own capability, and they think they have to be perfect all the time. Then, wither under the expectation when they realize they're not.
So again, we're talking about how to raise an adult, and we just talked about the author of the book talking about how she found herself cutting her 10-year-old's meat and realizing that she was doing the same thing that she was seeing in her students at Stanford. Now, so we're now going to go to that age. The question is that true for most 18 to 20-year-olds? And this is so true. This is so her answer is so interesting and so true. So, if a high school graduate chooses to go into the military, then we just send them off,
mm-hmm,
right?
That's right. It's certainly true.
And they're doing, it's dangerous. You know, now if you go into the military, at least this is a North American article, you're going to be sent to Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. It is not safe there.
Right.
And yet we're saying bye to our 18-year-old, whose meat we were cutting 8 years ago, to carry a gun and go and live.
Right.
And yet with kids who go to a 4-year college, what do we do?
We think it's so challenging they need a parent to manage their every moment.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah. And we do that.
Yes, we do. We're guilty of it. It's scary how true this article is. I just want to let everybody know that. Yeah, and I mean, I wish, you know what, Campbell? I'm glad you're getting this article now.
Yes. You know, but the thing is, I think I can understand why parents do that. I think for all parents, as I was saying earlier, the heart is you don't want your children to get hurt, right?
Right.
You want your children to be protected and to be safe and to be taken care of. But sometimes the temptation is to go too much.
Well, I remember when our kids were, you know, when you go to boarding school, there are curfews and, you know, rules. And they're, when you're a senior, they're a little bit not as strict.
A little lenient, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit more lenient. You know, they have like another hour or something. But I just kept saying, you know, in less than 3 months, these kids are going to be on their own. So why are you like hovering over them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they need to use some judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I also know they feel responsible and you don't want them to get into trouble, but
it's
very hard to know how to teach good judgment.
Exactly. I know for our daughter, after living over here in Taipei for 5 years, one of the things we did, which was very different, and the school she attended over here thought it was very different, we put her in, and she wanted to go. It was a Christian college that offered an outward bound program for a whole year, and it kind of roughs you up. Mm-hmm. So you are doing all kinds of things that you don't think you're capable of, and a lot of physical things and a lot of sportsmanship things and that sort of thing and survival things. And she will tell you it was a great, it made her grow up really mm-hmm. fast, because it was almost like doing a kind of like a little bit of a military boot camp thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was caving in places I would never want to cave, and she was doing surfing, learning to surf in the North Pacific and things like that. It mm-hmm. was great.
So it helped her develop those kind of
exactly.
skills.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe be a lot more independent.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought was really interesting about this is, so now we have the military, and we sent our 18-year-olds off to war,
mm-hmm.
and now we have the 4-year college kids who we are hovering over. And then she said, I was seeing this in usually middle to upper class families and beyond, because to go to Stanford, you know, you have to have a little bit of money
mm-hmm.
with disposable time and money.
Right.
And if something is disposable, if you have disposable money, what do you have?
If you have money, you can kind of throw away or throw at something.
Okay, but I okay, that's how we would say it, really. But, you know, it's money that you can spend like you want, not how you
right.
have to.
Right. Excess.
Okay. And her colleagues who were not seeing this were at community colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a community college...
Community college is usually a smaller college. It's more within the city. Usually the income level is... the tuition is a lot lower. It's usually mm-hmm. a 2-year college rather than a 4-year university.
And a lot of times kids go there and they can prepare to go to university.
Mm-hmm. Whereas in Canada, it's a lot different than the American approach. It is where you go either to get a diploma or a degree. And you can do it in 3 years full-time or 4 years.
Oh, that's quite different.
So it's quite different. They do have courses that maybe just run 1 or 2 years. But like my daughter went to community college in Canada in the province of Ontario, it was 3 years full time, so you don't get any breaks except 1 week vacation or 2 weeks vacation.
Okay, that is quite a bit different. Because a community college, mostly in the States, is 2 years preparing. Well, you can get some, it's not a degree though, it would be like...
A diploma?
I don't even know if it would be a diploma.
Credit man
makes some kind of certificate
yeah.
or something. Mm-hmm. But usually most of those kids, it's very specific. Maybe it's only a 2-year program. But most of those kids are going to be going on and finishing their junior and senior years at some university. So what they saw here is that those kids had a lot of self-reliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't live at school. You usually live at home or in an apartment.
Right.
If you go to a junior college, as Campbell was saying, it's more of a city school.
Mm-hmm.
And the other influence is the self-esteem movement.
Mm.
What do you guys think about this?
I think
Because you want to instill self-esteem,
right.
But you don't want to instill over self-esteem.
Right. I think there was a study a few years back where the psychologist was studying about, you know, the difference between praising someone's effort versus praising someone's results, right? Mm-hmm. And I think people went to the other extreme.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think there's a happy medium here. You know, I can't stand this new every child wins the race. No, because life isn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody doesn't win the race. And I think you're doing your child a disservice if you're actually teaching that from a very young age and just continue this all through their schooling.
Right. Well, it says here that a kid draws on a piece of paper and we say perfect. You know, you also have to be careful about saying, do it again. Do it until it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are two ends of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want to be careful not to be at either end of the spectrum.
Right.
But you don't want them to come away with this. It says overblown, which is means it's too high
mm-hmm.
sense of capability, and they think they have to be perfect all the time. And then when they realize they aren't, they don't know what to do.
They, mm-hmm.
It says they wither under this expectation because they've always felt that they were perfect.
Right.
And when we say wither under the expectation, we're using the word wither. You think of a plant that isn't nourished and watered and gets sunshine. It withers.
Right. Yeah. In Chinese, they have this phrase for this generation. They call them the tamei, which is the strawberry. The
right.
strawberry
they
generation.
They wither easily.
Right. So they bruise very easily.
Okay.
Right. Well, I hope you found this article as interesting as we have. We have to end here, but we will be back tomorrow with the rest of our interview, and we will be continuing on how to raise an adult. We hope you will join us. We look forward to seeing you then. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.